This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What a beautiful day. It's really, really nice out after we got rid of the rain as we get rolling here on a Tuesday afternoon. I just had the boss walk in and point at me. I might not even be employed anymore, Fred. I'm not sure.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's never good to start the show when the boss busts into the studio right as you're about to open the microphone.
I mean, and quite literally. It could not have been any closer to you pressing the on button.
Well, it's not like anyone like that's in a position of Steve being the program director would know when the show starts or anything like that. That would be a little bit too much to ask, I think. We're also without Sue Thomas, which is a little unusual because Sue would typically either bust into the room at the last second, which I'm maybe anticipating here, or she would have texted some of us to say, hey, I'm not here. So I don't know if she slept through a nap or something like that, Fred. It is a little unusual. This is not something that typically happens.
Maybe something's wrong with our entry door and she can't get in.
Well, by the way, that wouldn't be a shocker, would it?
No.
She's going to miss out on this Final Four talk. I know she's going to be really sad
she
that she's going to miss
upset.
It.
Well, let's start with that because, look, we got a lot of stuff going on here. In fact, we had a couple of victories in court for the Trump administration, in particular on deportations. Ilya Shapiro's going to join us in just a bit. He is one of our constitutional experts. We'll also, in the 5 o'clock hour, have Scott Jennings here, CNN political contributor and also former special assistant to President Bush and Senator McConnell. He's a national treasurer, as I've said. He's been a guest on this show for many years, and we haven't caught up in a couple of weeks. Plus, Jennings is a big Cardinals guy. Sue has arrived. She is in the studio. We're worried because this does not happen very often, we must say.
I'll tell you what happened. I was a little late, and then at every light, light.
Right.
And there was one right by the library where they were in the right lane and refused to turn right, so we all sat through the entire cycle. I just got caught at everyone, but it's my fault for starting off late.
But most of these lights were in the city, right?
Yes.
Well, you don't have to stop at lights in the city. I don't know what you're thinking. That's not something that happens anymore.
What I was going to say is it feels like no matter where you are, there is a potential four-minute turnaround in what could be when you're entering the city where you're like,
Ethan.
Okay, if I'm supposed to get here at noon, right? Like, I could either get there a couple minutes early based off of the lights.
Correct.
Or I could get there a couple minutes late. And unfortunately, I feel like I tend to be on the late side of that.
You know, I got caught up off of getting off of 55 this morning at Gravois. And the car in front of me stopped for the red light, for a regular red light, getting off the highway. And there was a car on his right side. And I was, like, caught between the two of them. So I couldn't do anything. It went through three sets before the guys realize they better just go through it.
Oh, that's horrible.
And of course, I didn't honk. I just sat there passively.
I would have gotten involved. Yeah. I think I would have gotten involved. Yeah.
Mark would have gotten arrested, and we would have had to come down and bail him out.
I didn't tell you on the air the ticket story, did I? I should probably share that. I told Ethan this yesterday, right? But wait, I'll tell the ticket story here in a second. I need to mention it's Liberation Day in the city of St. Louis. It is Liberation Day. This is the opportunity to finally Get Tish out of office. If you are a city resident, you haven't voted, for the love of God, vote, unless you're going to vote for her. Don't do that, please.
I just got back from there.
Yeah, vote for Donna Behringer. Vote for Kara. And I'm going to address this a little bit more later in the show, but a lot of people, when I put this on the X formerly Twitter this morning in celebration of Liberation Day, were very skeptical of Kara, who's likely to win, Kara Spencer, and just to, you know, how different will she be? Here's how I would break it down, and I'm not unrealistic about her being, you know, a socialist as well, but I think, Sue, that the basics will be attended to.
Yes.
And that's an important step.
Sadly, that would be a step up.
You wouldn't think that you'd have to take care
it's
of
a
trash
low bar.
Pickup. Right,
correct.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
But even
Fred,
if you can get to that and maybe show some leadership, that would be a win for the city. So I'm gonna hope and pray. I think it's got to be better. I mean, honestly, God, I don't know how it could be worse. So.
There was a nice older lady there when I was voting, and she had walked. She said her grandson usually takes her, but he had to leave, and she walked blocks and blocks to get to this thing to vote today. And I took her home. I waited to take her home. But that's on the way, she was saying, sometimes you got to get out there and do it. I'm like, yeah.
Well, look at that. That's good. All right, I'll tell this. I'll share the ticket story here in a second, but we got to start with what happened last night.
5 seconds. Short. He walked. He can't touch it. He can't. 1 second. And it's over.
It was a... Florida wins. It was a really unusual finish. And Sue, we were all guessing that you might not have been watching last night.
I watched all the way up, and then I didn't watch last night. I forgot all about it. So you were right. And I would have probably, Mark Reardon did it about half, you know.
Halftime and said.
Was it?
It was pretty good
game.
Was
it good? It was only a couple points.
But there would have been good reason to. It was a 12-point game at one point. Houston was totally in control of it early in the second half. And that's when, you know, the Blues game was getting into the later parts. So I was focused more on that. And all of a sudden I look back and they're down the stretch and it's a tie ball game.
Well, and so I was texting producer emeritus David Klein last night because I don't even know why this is. It's just disgusting. He's a Florida fan. I think his sister went there. It's just,
well, that's
he used
not
to wear
disgusting.
The terrible, well, I don't know about that. But, it, you know, I told him because he was kind of down for a while because, let's face it, Houston was really, really effectively shutting down. The Florida Gators have this player who's amazing. His name is Walter Payton Jr. People say his name is Walter Clayton Jr. I'm calling him Walter Payton Jr.
Since you said that yesterday, that's all I can hear in my head.
I
even read it that way.
Oh, thank you.
So I hope you're happy.
This kid, like, what did he score on Saturday?
34 points.
Oh!
He didn't score a point in the first half, Sue.
Oh, they shut him down.
8 minutes left is
when
he started
scoring.
Was he
having a bad night, or did they really shut him down with D?
They shut him down,
I
think.
Wow.
It was a little bit of both. He missed some shots, but Houston by far has the best defense in the country, and they showed that in the Final Four against Duke.
But explain what happened in the end, because that was an unusual ending, and they had an opportunity. They were down by one, Houston was. They had an opportunity on an inbound play with how many seconds left? I think 16 seconds left.
Yeah, they had plenty of time.
Whoa. They had plenty of time, but then they were having difficulty getting the ball to an open player. They finally get the kid open, and he looks like he's going to take a shot, but he realizes he's defended, so he comes down. Well, if he dribbles again, it's double dribble. So he basically just lets the ball bounce because he can't do anything else.
So basically, that you said it pretty well right there. Is he? I think it was Walter Clayton actually had a hand in his face, and he was going to block it, but he had the man with the ball in his hands had already left his feet. So if he doesn't shoot, comes back down, it's a travel.
Yep.
So he throws the ball at the ground, and he can't touch it. If he touches it, then it's a double dribble, I believe, it's a turnover. So he is waiting there for someone else to touch it.
Yes.
But there's 3 seconds left. There's no time. So we were talking about this before, Mark, because it would have been interesting if he would have touched it, because then you start to ask the question, well, was he technically shooting, or was he passing it at the ground? Regardless, I don't know if someone has to touch it first, but in the end, it was an abysmal last possession of the game for Houston, and Florida ends up on top.
Can I tell you how I watched the game?
Yes, please.
Much to my surprise. I mean, not this, but I watched it at home with Marie and with, you know, my son Noah, who lives in D.C.
Yeah.
His girlfriend, who lives in D.C., was in St. Louis visiting or on a work trip. And so she's staying at our house.
I love it.
And I didn't even know it until the game started that she was a Florida grad.
No way!
And she used to work at the Gainesville Arena where the basketball games are played. She was in the box office there. So she was like, oh, it doesn't really matter to me which way who wins.
Are you
But
crazy?
As the game went on and got closer, man, she was hugging her pillow, and we were all screaming at the TV. We instantly all were Florida fans.
I guess I shouldn't
have called Dave Klein's affection for Florida disgusting, Fred. I apologize. Wait, are you telling me, too, just on a side note here, that the girlfriend's in town, but your son is not here?
Emily,
yeah, she's on to work.
Oh,
right.
No, I got that, but that's a really good opportunity to get information, right?
Mm.
If she opens up about that, I'd do some recon there. You can find things out.
Mark, what was the last thing that I sent you last night? Do you remember?
I do, and let's point this out. Thank you, Ethan, for bringing that up. Believe it or not, it was next on my list. Here we go. This is, who's the kid that, Callum McAndrew, who's that guy? Do you know who he is?
Doesn't matter. Everyone was posting about it last night.
Here we go. This is a moral victory, Fred. You'll like this too. National champion Florida went 29-1 between its home floor and on neutral courts this year.
Wow.
The one was Mizzou in Gainesville.
How about
the Mizzou
that?
Tigers
oh
took
my
them down.
Gosh.
And they took them down that night. I mean, they came out on fire and Florida did not know what hit them. So essentially, we're just as good as the national champions. There you go.
What I see it as is a what could have been for Mizzou, because they were, I mean, they proved that they were just as good as any team in the SEC. You could have argued that they were the hottest team in the SEC
for a
at
while.
One point.
They were.
So right. it just goes to show peaking at the right time is such an important part of it.
There were some monster slam dunks in that game
last
night.
Oh, I love that. I'm sorry.
For how boring of a tournament it was, and overall, it was a great finish with the Final Four in the national championship.
I thought it was a good game.
Yeah.
And even, again, the reason I did not give up on that game is because I knew Florida had that ability. They even had a graphic up there. I mean, every damn game, they were down, and I think at one point the other day, they were down by 14 points. So, congratulations to the Florida Gators and to the SEC. I guess I should be happy, even though I call them disgusting, that they're in the SEC. Then there's the Cardinals. Now, we haven't mentioned that yet, uh-oh, have we? We mentioned the Blues, and we mentioned the NCAA championship game.
Oh.
Yeah?
None of you were at the Cardinals thing today? It was media luncheon.
Yeah,
day.
I skipped it. I
went for once. Oh. Nobody, you guys weren't there.
I would love to go, but I've never gone because I'm always working on the Mark Reardon
Food
show.
Is so good.
I go usually, and I will say that I skipped it today. They had some tickets available for the Friday game, and I can't go on Friday night. But how was it?
Did they show off
some amenities? Did they talk about crumble cookies?
They talked about crumble cookies, and they've got really good pot stickers this year. I had a hot dog with brisket on it, I believe.
Interesting.
That made me happy.
Did Mosellock speak?
No, we had a variety of people, but no Heim.
No Heim
we had
or
DeWitt,
no Mo.
And that's pretty much it. Mike Claiborne.
Was there tone to the conversation?
Yes, the tone was, you know what? Baseball's great. Baseball's fun, and give us a chance, we might be okay.
Okay.
You know, just like 85. Nobody thought we were going anywhere, and then a bad call made us lose, but we made it that far.
So,
we have a pessimist.
Here's a list for you of the 2025 team ERAs. You have the New York Mets up there at the top right now, 1.72. The Dodgers, 2.63. San Francisco, San Diego. I could read all these, but let me just skip to the last team on the list, which is the St. Louis Cardinals. The last team.
It's not
on
even
the
close
list.
Either.
Milwaukee's not so good right now.
Yeah, I mean, but it's still a couple tenths of a point there. It's not it's not close compared to some of the other ones.
Yeah, that's just sad. There's plenty of time, right? But the Pirates, we got smoked by the Pirates.
It won't be any easier tonight. Paul Skeens on the mound for Pittsburgh, arguably the best pitcher in baseball.
Fred, you look like you're in pain.
Yeah,
right
that was
now.
Bad. I know,
man. It's going to be an interesting year. Did they address the issue of no fans coming to the games?
No, they did not. Thanks for asking that. Mark Cox did ask a question. He asked about the torpedo bats. What else was asked? And they pretty much said what we've all been saying, which is, if it helps baseball, it'll be fine.
was JC there?
No, he wasn't. That's why we got out of there on time.
I long for the yesteryear when JC Corcoran would always ask the most uncomfortable question of Mo, and then Mo would shoot back with the snarkiest response. That was really good.
They'd go back and forth for a really long time, and we'd all think, really, please let this end.
So let me just share the ticket story just because I told Ethan this yesterday, and I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to end up in a jail cell. So you might remember Fred and Sue, and maybe the audience too. I think this goes back a couple of years. It does, because I have tags that need to be renewed right now. So one day I pulled out of the garage here, and I tried to turn left, and I think it was Pride Weekend or something like that. And lo and behold, I was probably going to head down on Saturday or Sunday. But as I leave, I realize I can't go that way, you know, to take my little shortcut down past 14th. And I instantly do a U-turn. And when I do the U-turn, I'm behind a St. Louis police cruiser, like an SUV. So we turn right onto Market, and then he ends up being to the left of me and behind me, and he sees my plates, so he pulls me over for expired plates. Now, my expired tags were 2 months, and I was just so, first of all, it annoys me, and I didn't have the inspection done, so I kept putting that off. So I didn't say a word. He writes me the ticket, and then he comes back, and he goes, I wrote you a ticket for the tags and for not having a front license plate. And at that point, I just like, I wanted to say, really, dude? There was a guy that was just shot in the head like 3 weeks ago down the street. But I didn't, Sue. I kept my mouth shut. But the other thing that I didn't do is I never paid the ticket. And there was a part of that that was intentional. And I even thought about going to the court date. I'm like, ah, I'm not going to go to the court date. Well, then I spaced it out. I really did. I'm like, oh, so I'm going through a bunch of stuff last week and I find the ticket. Now, I'm thinking to myself, there's this road situation by my house. I'm starting to stir up trouble with Valley Park. And what they're saying is that they're going to put St. Louis County Police cruisers out there and pull people over that are sneaking through this Hillsborough Road thing. So I'm thinking, because I'm going to push the envelope, I may be pulled over. So I get with Brad Young, my legal representative. I gave him his $1, so we have lawyer, you know, client privilege.
Okay.
I don't even know if that works, but I tried.
What do you call it? Yeah, privilege. Yeah.
Privilege. Right. So I said, Brad, I don't want to get, I'm a little worried about this. So he goes in, he looks at the system, all that. It doesn't even exist. He's like, wait, what? So he calls the clerk. The clerk's like, yeah, the file's been closed. So he doesn't really know what happened. We talked about this off the air the other day. Jane says that this happens all the time. That they
50%, they, she said.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't
50% it? 50% chance that it'll just disappear.
Well,
hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I guess I took that chance.
I can't believe you won on that gamble. That makes me slightly ill, yet I'm also, you know, relieved for
you. Isn't that great, though?
It is kind of good.
But here's the problem. Now my tags are expired by 1 week because I have to, well, I had to get the stupid inspection again. I went to try to do it automatically because you can do that, and now I can't because they've already expired by 8 days. So what's here's what I'll tell you, though. I took a picture of this car. We have someone in our parking lot here, Odyssey St. Louis. It's like a blue Toyota. You know when the tags expired? September of 23.
Oh, my God. That just makes me nuts.
That's a year and a half.
Do you know whose car it is?
I took a picture. I don't know whose car it is.
Okay, I'm going to look that up.
I'll show you the picture. All right, we're off and running here on a beautiful day in St. Louis. We have Ilya Shapiro coming up next. Hey, it's Telephone Tuesday in the next hour. Tuesday. Matt makes it on this show, Telephone Tuesday, which means we're going to take phone calls in the next hour. So that should be fun. Stay tuned for that right after Sue's News. Big Supreme Court ruling on deportations.
This was a smackdown to a rogue left-wing low-level district court judge who have relentlessly tried to stop President Trump from using his core constitutional powers as head of the executive branch and as commander-in-chief. The highest court in the land made it clear that the President of the United States has the power to protect our homeland and forcibly remove foreign terrorists who pose a grave threat to families and communities.
Yeah, so a couple of victories for the Trump administration. Ilya Shapiro is back with us. Senior Fellow and Director of Constitutional Studies at the Manhattan Institute. How are you this afternoon, Ilya?
Doing all right. The Supreme Court's been active.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, let's start with the Aliens and the Enemies Act, because obviously that was something that a lot of people on the left kind of put into question. What's Trump using this particular act to deport migrants who are gang members? And the high court agreed, right?
Well, it depends how you read it, in the sense that the justices were unanimous in that anyone who the government wants to deport under the Alien Enemies Act gets judicial review. What they disagreed about was the same thing that the D.C. Circuit on appeal disagreed about, which is where that review is. And the Supreme Court, the majority, said that was where they're being held with respect to these folks. Texas, that's what the dissenting judge in the D.C. Circuit held as well, Judge Walker. But it's not everything that the administration wanted, meaning it's not just kind of summary removal. But it'll be hard. You know, the people detained have to go case by case to file a habeas petition wherever it is that they're being held.
So I don't think you and I have talked about the Mahmoud Khalil case in particular. I even think that maybe I saw something today that there was a hearing on that. But where are you even just philosophically on something like that, where you have a guy that was certainly ginning up support for terrorists at Columbia University? And Ilya, you more than a lot of people out there would have a lot of sensitivity to that. But was it something that crosses the line? I feel that it does, crosses the line for deportation. But I'm curious about your answer here.
So this is not an issue about the First Amendment or free speech. Foreigners generally have the same First Amendment rights. That is, they can't be imprisoned or fined or prosecuted, arrested for speech that the government doesn't like. But there are all sorts of immigration regulations, as one might expect, about who can come into the country, what kind of ideas they have, what they advocate, these sorts of things. It's understandable that a country would not want to import people that, say, support the violent overthrow of the government or other things like that. And among these immigration regulations is that you can't advocate or support terrorism. You also can't be a Nazi. You can't be a communist. There's a whole slew of things. And the standard for getting a visa in the first place is the same standard as for getting your visa revoked if you're already in the country. And that's what's going on here. There's a wrinkle that Khalil himself, unlike most of the other student visas that are getting revoked now, I think we're up to about 500. He actually has a green card, which is why he gets a judicial hearing. That's the only difference between someone who has a green card versus not, that the amount of due process that they get, not the legal standards for those immigration violations. So again, I'm on the side of those advocating for Khalil's deportation because of his activities, not even just his speech, but his activities in terms of being part of the group that, say, organized the takeover of Hamilton Hall at Columbia University.
Do you look at the case of Dr. Rasha Alawia the same way? So she's someone that is from Lebanon. She's deported because she had supported the Hezbollah leader. She attended his funeral. And is that the same scenario that you see with Mahmoud or different, Ilya?
It's different in that it wasn't that she was deported, she was denied entry. That is, she had been on a work visa of some kind. She was a professor at Brown and was denied entry because it was found that, indeed, she was supporting Nasrallah and, you know, again, in violation of these immigration regulations. So it's, in effect, her visa, her entry was denied. So it's not that she actually had to be removed, but the principle is the same. And since she didn't have a green card, she wasn't entitled to a judicial hearing about that.
What do you make? One of the things that's getting a lot of attention, certainly on the interwebs and social media, is Amy Coney Barrett siding sort of against Donald Trump in this particular case. The MAGA folks not happy with Amy Coney Barrett. What do you say about that?
I mean, there was a different decision where it was Roberts joining the liberals. It really just depends. The justices call them like they see them. And, you know, Barrett has been on the side that conservatives prefer on issues ranging from the Second Amendment to affirmative action to presidential immunity. She's not like Alito or Thomas. She's not, you know, rock ribbed and always almost a guarantee. But she is far from a squish or someone who has, you know, moved left in office.
Yeah, well, I kind of feel that way, too. But you got people out there basically saying that was Trump's biggest mistake. I mean, there's the hard side of MAGA is beating the crap out of her, which I guess is what they do. Right.
It's just a matter of opinion. And no, Trump himself, a week or two ago, I think defended her.
Yep, absolutely. Right. All right. The other case today that's interesting is the Supreme Court blocked this order requiring the administration to rehire thousands of federal employees. So is that a victory or is that one nuanced as well?
This was by an apparent vote of 7-2. In these emergency orders, you don't see who's in the majority unless, there's four people in dissent. And here there were two people that noted their dissent, Sotomayor and Jackson. Doesn't mean that everyone else agreed, but that's what it looks like. No, this is a clear victory. I mean, again, not on the merits, but just saying that the lower court had overstepped its bounds procedurally in what it was doing. So this is, you know, the court, again, did not rule on the substance of the law, but just said that there's a pause in the lower court's order so the government can doesn't have to rehire them while the merits of the civil service litigation goes on.
What about the broader DOJ attempts and the lawsuits surrounding those? I mean, look, there's a lot of lawyers and a lot of judges that are busy on all this right now. But do you see attempts, because obviously the left's going to try anything to shut this down, which is kind of amazing when you think about going after, you know, waste, fraud and abuse, that they're going to die on that particular hill. But we've seen them die on other hills as well. But some of this is being tested. And, you know, I don't know what all the results are. I don't even know how you would track all this, Ilya.
I've been saying from the beginning that the administration is ultimately going to win about 80% of these cases. Elon Musk himself admitted that certain cases they kind of went for the maximal thing, and we'll figure it out later kind of thing. So certain actions are going to be pared back or get more detailed, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, that sort of thing. But for the most part, what Trump is doing is reorganizing the executive branch, and that's where the president has the most power, doesn't need new legislation to do. He does need new legislation to, say, completely remove the eliminate the Department of Education. He, the birthright citizenship thing is a substantive constitutional point that is going to get to the Supreme Court. But these kind of internal executive branch things, whether with respect to the thousands of line workers or the heads of agencies, the D.C. Circuit just reversed its own panel. All of the judges went en banc, what's called, and reversed its panel. Looks like now the Supreme Court will look at that next term on the merits. But at the end of the day, I think the administration is going to win out almost all of them.
Did you say that was called en banc?
Yeah. It's a fancy legal term that means the whole bench, meaning whatever. There's 11 judges on the D.C. Circuit. So rather than the two to one vote in the panel that initially hears a case, any appellate panel is three judges, and then the whole circuit can decide to review that and hear. I think the vote was 7-4 to do the opposite of what the panel wanted.
Okay, all that might be true, but it's also a good band name, I think. That's why it kind of stood out to me. Ilya Shapiro, always great to have you on. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
I had never heard that term before.
I hadn't either.
We learn things on the Mark Reardon Show. We educate you. We'll do that in the next hour with Sue's News. Before I get to a break here, I just wanted to kind of talk about something. We'll talk about Jennings about this in the 5 o'clock hour. Have you heard about the dust up between Elon and Peter Navarro? Okay, so this is kind of interesting because Peter Navarro's pushing the tariffs out there, right? And he's leading the effort to rewire this whole global economy. Musk is doing Doge, but I guess Navarro said something about his company that he didn't like, and I'm not even sure that it was true. So this is what Elon writes on X. Navarro says Musk is not a car manufacturer, just an assembler of parts. That's what he says on TV. So Elon's response is, he went easy on him. Navarro is truly a moron. What he says here is demonstrably false. And in the same thread, Musk called Navarro dumber than a sack of bricks and told him to go ask Ron Vara, fictional economist Navarro quoted in his books. So here's what Carolyn said about that today, because obviously this is getting some attention.
There's been some public sparring between Elon Musk and the president's trade advisor, Peter Navarro, on some of these tariffs. Musk actually referred to Navarro today as being, quote, dumber than a sack of bricks. Are you at all, or is the administration, the president, all concerned that this is maybe impacting the public's understanding of these tariffs? It might be messing with the message on it?
No, look, these are obviously two individuals who have very different views on trade and on tariffs. Boys will be boys, and we will let their public sparring continue. And you guys should all be very grateful that we have the most transparent administration in history. And I think it also speaks to the president's willingness to hear from all sides, that he has people at the highest level of this government in this White House who have very diverse opinions on very diverse issues, but the president takes all opinions in mind, and then he makes the best decision based on the best interests of the American public.
You know, that's a pretty good answer, and I think
it's a great answer.
It's the real answer. You're going to have personalities. Look, I remember, if you go back to when all this started, remember Steve Bannon, not that he's a member of the cabinet or anything, but Steve Bannon was, going after Elon Musk, saying that he wouldn't even last a week.
Jeez.
So there's lots of egos here, right? There's a lot of personalities. Meantime, something I haven't even mentioned yet this afternoon, maybe because it's painful, but it was another interesting day on Wall Street. And if you were paying attention to the market this morning, it was way up, 1,400 points. I can't remember what the high was, but it was pretty high. It opened at 38,827. The high was 30. Here, I have the list here. The high was 39,426, but then it closed down about, 320 points. So down 320. The NASDAQ was down. The markets were down. It's interesting because, as we pointed out yesterday, Dave Simons was with us, just on rumors sometimes, things will shift in the other direction. Now, the message from the White House, the message from Washington, the Speaker, Mike Johnson, patience.
I think you got to give the president the latitude that the
the runway to do what it is he was elected to do, and that is get this economy going again and get our trade properly balanced with other countries. So I think most of the American people understand the necessity of that.
So one of the mantras that I have on a regular basis is against the experts. And a lot of this is really from COVID, where people told us things all the time and they were false, constantly. So here's Jim Cramer on CNBC.
The president doesn't try to reach out and reward these countries and companies that play by the rules in the 1987 scenario, the one where we went down 3 days and then down 22% on Monday, has the most cogency. We will not have to wait out too long, will we? We'll know by Monday.
Well, it happened, and he's predicting a Black Monday, and it didn't happen, and obviously it's been a little unusual, and I think we're going to see swings back and forth. Carolyn Leavitt was asked about this today. One of the other things that they're saying is a lot of these countries are reaching out.
In total, since the Liberation Day announcement, nearly 70 countries have already reached out to the president to begin a negotiation. Countries are falling over themselves to reform their unfair trade practices and free open their markets to our country. Why? Because these countries greatly respect President Trump and the sheer power of the American market.
All right, we're going to come back here. I have some really interesting audio from someone who is really having a lot of difficulty coming to terms with the Democrat loss from last fall. We have Sue's News and Telephone Tuesday coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Reminder, we have Telephone Tuesday. That means we're going to take some phone calls after Sue's News in the next hour. I'm really looking forward to, and Fred knocked it out of the park again with a guest, because I saw this piece. I think I just found it this morning. That was in the City Journal, and some of the things that happen in our very country, in other states, and I've mentioned a lot of times, I'm very glad I live in Missouri because we don't have the nonsense that Illinois has or some of these other states. In Colorado, they're actually considering a new piece of legislation that would make not using a child's preferred name or pronouns a factor in custody battles. And it's quite shocking. This is the kind of stuff that happens overseas in England and in Australia and New Zealand, but it shouldn't happen here. And we'll have, who wrote this? Because this is the guy that we have in the 5 o'clock hours. Colin Wright, who is a biologist and a Manhattan Institute fellow. He'll join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Scott Jennings as well. Now, I'm watching Fox this morning, Sue, and I see this clip from Nicole Wallace on MSNBC. Nicole Wallace has to be probably the most embarrassing in a sea of embarrassing talking heads out there. I mean, she used to be the, you know, KJP, if you will, or Carolyn Leavitt of the early Bush administration. She's been on MSNBC spreading nonsense ever since. And she has this guy on by the name of Eddie Glaude, who is a Princeton University professor. Now, I keep seeing all kinds of stories. In fact, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have been in the news the last couple of days because in this book fight, apparently they did not know they were going to lose, Sue. They were convinced that they were going to win. So they had shock to the system because I think that they were being protected from the reality. But you still have, and by the way, we're going to hear this tomorrow from our mayor when she gets her ass kicked out of office today. She's going to pull the race card. She's going to pull the woman card. Well, this guy, Eddie Glaude, goes on MSNBC, and he says that 77 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump opted to destroy the republic rather than to elect a Black woman. So it's all because she was Black. It wasn't because she was a complete idiot.
And until we grapple with it, there's no amount of protesting I could do. There's no amount of resistance that could come into play to actually force 78 million people to grapple with what motivated them to put themselves in this position.
There's a guy. This is why I don't like the experts. He's an elite Princeton University professor.
That explains it.
That might explain it. Thank you. He just doesn't get it.
We chose a felon who is more interested in loyalty, who's more interested in retribution, who's more interested in grift than in democracy. And we chose a felon because we didn't want to elect a Black woman.
Oh, come on.
Exactly.
So to read that, to actually explicate that, is to say we would rather destroy the republic.
You know, on the Black woman thing, I would say this, and I don't think many people could dispute it. There was always this conspiracy theory that Michelle Obama was going to get in the race. But let's say that she really did get in the race.
All right.
She got in sooner. I think Michelle Obama probably would have won.
She had a chance for darn sure.
She would have had a better chance. But the notion, and by the way, there's plenty of people on the Republican side, if they were African-American, we would vote for them. We didn't like her because she was an idiot and she had the same policies as Joe Biden and the progressives.
I don't know what it's going to take for 78 million Americans to deal with what motivated them to make this choice. And the choice that they've made, we have to just be honest, is to literally throw the Republican to the trash bin.
Okay.
And this is just one example.
The terrorist
is another, right? They made the choice. Now, what was behind it? We have to grapple with it because it's the snake. It's the beast coiled up in the heart, the bosom of the country, as Frederick Douglass said. Ooh. And the fact that they are doubling down on this shows you what kind of human beings they actually are.
Guess who is in the bosom of the country, Sue? That would be us here in Missouri, right?
Okay, he realizes, right, that we did have a black president that we all elected twice.
That's what's amazing about it, right? But you got to understand, it's the black woman. It's like with Tashar. You double up. Oh, that's a double disadvantage because she's black, she's a woman, and she's an idiot. So you got that in there. And she stood for things that 90% of the country did not believe in. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot in the last week, and maybe we can get some calls to this effect in the next hour, is, and I've admitted that I'm a little jittery on the tariffs and the economy, et cetera. But you know what I do is I think back to the previous administration, and for every day for 4 years, I saw people flooding across this border, millions of people. And the mainstream media did not give one rip. They didn't want to talk about it. Fox covered it. Bill Malusian covered it. We talked about Chinese nationals streaming across the border, all kinds of people. The Democrats didn't care at all. The damage, you want to talk about damage inflicted on this country? The damage that inflicted on this country that we're probably not going to recover from for a while. And then you put COVID into the mix and the shutdowns and the masking. And I know some of this happened when Trump was in office, but let's face it, it was continued by the Biden administration. And then you throw into the fact that the guy was essentially slobbering on himself. And you had people like KJP and others from the administration just saying, oh, nothing to see here. This is just made up, you know, deep fakes, cheap fakes, all this stuff. They lied on a constant basis. So it's going to take a lot for me to get to a point where I give one rip, I wanted to say the other word,
know,
about the complaints are coming from the other side.
I understand. I do.
And I think a lot of people are there right now. You know, they want to talk about one of the things that Nicole Wallace said. Well, you're right about one thing. He's shredding the Constitution. Well, if I'm keeping track, and I am, he seems to have scored quite well at the Supreme Court here in the last 24 hours when it comes to the Constitution. The shredding of the Constitution actually is being attempted by the left-wing judges out there who are going rogue, and then they're finding out, because they kind of knew to begin with, that their orders were going to be overturned by the Supremes. We'll take a break. We'll get up to the top of the hour. I do have a couple of things I want to get to right before Sue's news, including some devastating Diet Coke news. Sue, I know you're going to be interested in that.
I saw that. I'm waiting to hear.
Yeah, I actually, you know what I do is I send things to Fred sometimes, and I say, just mark this down for 407. So what it says here is it says, the fall of Diet Coke. I may be exaggerating slightly. Maybe not, though. And then we have Telephone Tuesdays. We'll take some calls. We got Jennings coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. And then I mentioned Colin Wright, who's with the Manhattan Institute, on making misgendering a crime, essentially, in Colorado. It's all coming up, plus an audio cut of the day.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.